one of it's really understanding the friction point, right? And when you were just explaining, that's a friction point. And figuring out your pricing model and how you're going to price and being very clear to your clients about that pricing is a friction point. And you can remove a lot of the issues that you have with your clients' experience just by being very clear up front with their pricing.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, your host, as the announcer mentioned, and I am just so happy to be here today. I'm happy to have my friend Jesse here today. I'm happy that you're here to enjoy the Be That Lawyer show. This show, as you know, everybody's all about helping you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And there are so many elements that we go through in this show. In fact, you know, from Coach's Corner, where I bring in the top coaches, marketing mavericks, I bring in the top marketing guys, technology, health and wellness, you name it, we've got it. Go back and you don't have to listen to every show. You know, I've done 360 plus or 380, something like that. But I think it's important to go back and just look at maybe some of the shows that may more closely relate to what you're going through right now. So you're having marketing issues on SEO. You're having, you know, some challenges with the client experience. Well, hey, this is the show for you. I've got Jesse here. And Jesse, first of all, welcome to the show, man. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, same here.
I was telling Jesse that I had the stomach flu over the weekend and I'm just like getting over it. And I just like walked up a flight of stairs to get to my office and I'm like out of breath. I'm like, oh, I'm not really over it. I think I'm over the harsh stuff. You know?
Your energy doesn't give off that you were sick over the weekends.
No, well, I'm doing my best to keep it up and I'm going to try to put the focus on you so I can actually breathe and take some sips of water. But listen, man, I bring my energy up because I know I want to make sure that we spotlight what you're doing in the legal industry to make it a better place. That's the goal of the show. That's the goal of my career. And that's why I have you on the show. And I think you have so much to share. And I want to start off, as I always do, with the quote of the show. And yours is fail fast, fail small, fail often. And that's by your mentor, Rich Running. Shout out to Rich Running. So tell me why you like that particular quote and why you submitted it.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to whenever I worked with Rich whenever I lived back in Utah many years ago, and he always used to talk about that. We have to fail fast, fail small, fail often, because we don't really understand what works in our organizations unless we know what's not working in our organizations. But using the failing fast, we have to run real quick experiments and see what works, what doesn't. We have to fail small, so rather than making huge investments into a marketing strategy or another business strategy, it's really kind of making those small investments. And, you know, failing often, if we don't fail often, we don't know what works. So it's continuously experimenting over and over again until we see what works. And then once we know what works, we can then double down on that.
Yeah. And the one that I've used for years to kind of, you know, play off of what Rich gave you is a fail forward. I think that's really what we're all trying to do is how do we make a mistake and improve, make a mistake and improve. In fact, when I put people through my program, which is, you know, really about business development and growing a book of business, I really encourage them to make mistakes, to try out what I'm giving them, say it wrong, do it wrong, make a mistake, you know, whatever. And then let's talk about it. Let's figure out what didn't happen the way it should have. And let's make that, I don't think people learn. Really, they can learn and maybe they learn and they do, but most people learn because they made a mistake and they have that aha moment and then they move on, right? Is that's a big part of how we grow?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that mistake piece, right, or the failure, you know, some people are afraid of the word failure, but I think as we learn, that's how we grow, right? And I always say, if things don't kind of, you know, like you're not struggling a little bit, then you're not really learning. So it's important for people to struggle a little bit so that we can learn from that experience as we go through it.
I feel like you're going to say, people, if things don't suck.
I was going to say that, but I held back a little bit. Like, maybe I shouldn't say embrace the suck. Right?
Embrace the suck. Yeah,
embrace the suck. All right, I'm going to step back from that.
Yeah, I think that's become really common nomenclature for our time is embrace the suck. And some of the, you know, we mentioned, we were talking about Jocko, who wrote the book You Love on Leadership. And then we brought, who's the other guy that we were talking about?
David Goggins.
David Goggins, who's all about like, you know, hey, nothing sucks worse than what he's doing. So yeah. Embrace it. Yeah.
He runs like 100 mile races.
Yeah.
And there was a story when he was in Moab, Utah, and he made the wrong turn and ended up running another like 10 miles. Until he realized that he was on the wrong trajectory on the course, and he turned around and he still won the race.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, that's because everybody quit after about 30, realizing that this race was insane and nobody should be doing it. But that's just me.
Moab in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. I just walked up a flight of stairs and I was pretty much embracing the suck just doing that. So different. Yeah, everybody's got a different level.
Different level of suck. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, man. Jesse, you are the CEO of Scale Legal, and I'd love for you to talk to us about your background and leading into how you started Scale Legal. What is Scale Legal? And then I've got a whole list of questions for you that I want to get into, really relating to the client experience. How do we make the client experience, and how do we leverage that as a way to grow business? So take us back.
Yeah, so you know, I've worked in marketing most of my career. I started out very early on as a sales engineer and worked in sales, and then eventually worked in marketing, ran marketing agencies, worked with companies all over the world. And then in 2015, I actually started doing consulting. But I was doing work for a university out of the Bay Area, and in the middle of the pandemic, you know, it was mostly in-person executive programs for CEOs. And they laid off 200 out of 250 employees. And I was one of the 50 left behind. And then but nothing really changed. We still were trying to figure out how to run a business, but with a fraction of the people. And I got burnt out really quick and went on a vacation for 2 weeks, came back, still was realized like within an hour of being back to work on Monday, was still burnt out. So I decided that I wanted to make a change in November of 2020. I literally stopped doing that and focused on coaching. I had a great opportunity to coach with Law Firm Mentor, which you and I talked about before, and working with Allison and her team over there, you know, what an amazing organization. I learned so much and grew so much. However, I realized there was a problem in the marketplace. And when the marketplace, I'm talking about lawyers and law firms, that there's a lot of emphasis focused on getting the work done. But there's this gap that happens on what the actual client experience looks like. And I ran client experience and client engagement for a marketing agency, and we helped businesses really build that. So I thought there's a great opportunity in the marketplace to help law firms solve the problems that they have in their business by understanding the gaps, understanding the friction points, and then building a system and a process around the client experience. So that's how Scale Legal became a business, and we're kind of off and moving and figuring out, failing fast, failing small, failing often, and really trying to make it happen.
And I think your Be That Lawyer tipping point is not unique in the sense that a lot of people are coming to their senses as it relates to, you know, whether that's a job as a lawyer, whether that's a job in corporate America, whatever, that, you know, hey, there's an opportunity for me to leverage the skills that I've developed and be my own boss, do my own thing. And I will tell everybody, Larry the lawyer, my dad, right? His number one thing that he wanted for me and wanted for his kids was to be their own boss. He put that in us at a very early age. I worked, you know, very hard since I was a kid to earn my own money. I never wanted to ask Larry for money, that's for sure, because that was a whole ordeal. Different story. But ultimately, you know, when you're your own boss, there's something about it that is just beautiful. And it's not for everybody. I don't want to put that in everyone's head that that's the only way to go. But for me, you know, like, and maybe for you, I don't know if I could ever go back. I just don't think that's a possibility.
I've tried a couple times. You know, when you're just starting out as an entrepreneur, there's these moments of fear, right?
Yeah.
Moments of fear kind of say, well, you know, it's tough, it's hard, there's inconsistencies in income. I feel like I'm always chasing the next deal, which is what happens a lot to solo attorneys. And then it's like, well, it'd be a lot easier to just go back into corporate America. It'd be a lot easier to get that W-2, you know, income consistently every 2 weeks and the benefits. But then there's this thing for me, it's the freedom, right? It's the freedom and creativity, and I do my best work when I can have the ability to be free in my mind and free in my time And the only way I think you can do that is when, you know, well, some people can do that inside of their W-2 job. But for me, it's when I have the space to create and use my creativity. Some people are painters. Some people are, you know, they do sculptures or they build things. For me, it's business. That is my creativity and my creative mind. So I can't imagine going back either.
Yeah. Well, let's then get into the weeds on the main topic for today, which is really around creating a great client experience. And I think lawyers, like many things in their careers, you know, they're not taught this in law school. They're not given any instruction on how to market or biz dev or to client experience, any of that. So let's start off with what you're seeing or what lawyers are seeing as their most common gaps in the client experience. And then let's work towards some solutions for that and help give some you know, tactical, actionable tips to the people listening.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's two sides of the coin is what we call it at Scale Legal. We call it the client side and then the firm side. And the client side communications are often, or client side problems are a little sometimes different than on the inside of the firm, but communication is one of those gaps, right? So the clients oftentimes are saying, I don't ever hear from the firm. I only hear when they need something. They don't feel that there's consistency, which is the third problem, but there's not enough consistency in communication for them. On the inside of the firm, there's this problem of the employees are spending all their time in a reactionary state whenever it comes to communication. And they're always responding to email. They're always responding to the crisis at the time, rather than being proactive in their state of communication. And there are some really basic tools out there, like, you know, client portals. It's developing the right policies, communication policies, and setting boundaries, right? Those are some really basic things. But having a very clearly defined process is one of a lot of them, they don't have that. The second is technology. So many people, they'll just buy technology with no clear strategy as to why they're buying technology. And for us, we always say that the client journey starts when they become aware, when your PNC becomes aware of your firm, right? For the first time, whether that's a webinar, whether it's a referral, you know, it doesn't really matter. Google search, Google, you know, Google My Business page. Having a tech stack that really enables that process and helps pull your PNCs into clients, you know, first into consultations, and then into clients, the onboarding, the legal work, all the way down to the offboarding. And then even well after that process, technology seems to be a huge gap for people. They buy a lot of tools, but the tools may not necessarily fit the actual firm. It may not actually fit the actual needs of their business. And the last one I mentioned briefly was consistency. There's a lot of lack of consistency, and we see that a lot in the legal industry. And it's because smaller firms, we see it more than bigger firms, right? These gigantic firms seem to have it locked down for the most part. But even that, like, you know, 100 employees, 150 employees within the firm, there seems to be some issues with consistency. You have one attorney doing one thing great, and then another attorney is really inconsistent in their delivery. But if you had a consistent client experience and processes and systems to help move that forward, it's going to be a lot easier to achieve their goals. So consistency seems to be another big gap.
Yeah, I want to go back to the technology point, because I think one of the big gaps that you mentioned is with how technology is purchased and then not necessarily leveraged properly. The two that I wrote down that I think are really the tricks, and big thank you and shout out to Legalese, because I think they're handling this, you know, for me and for others around some of the technology that's out there, is customization. How is that technology customized to your firm, your people, to your clients? And the other is training. Mm. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine, Steve Seckler, shout out to Steve Seckler. And we were talking about CRMs. And obviously we love Pipeline or Pipeline Plus with David Ackert. So I'm just mentioning lots of people today. But the fact that most things aren't customized for lawyers. And if they're not, then how are they really going to use them? And so, like, for example, I don't think I use Lawmatics, and I don't think I would be successful with Lawmatics if I didn't have Legalese customizing and training me and working with me. Because if I just had a software, and I'm telling you, I'm brighter than, you know, my 88-year-old father, but when it comes to technology, I'm probably not anywhere near as savvy as my 16-year-old teenager. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think about, why is there a gap in the game around customization and training?
I think let's start with training first. I think because the biggest gap in training is that people aren't creating time for it.
Yeah.
because we immediately buy technology to solve a problem, and then we don't actually take the time to properly onboard people on our teams. We don't properly make sure that there's a strategy on like, what are we training on? The vendors, nothing against them, right? They all try to do their best. They're doing their best on trying to fit their tool, right, into the firm rather than finding opportunities to customize, to your point. So I think training is really around, like, you got the vendors that are like, well, this is our training process, because they're trying to scale training to hundreds of thousands, you know, hundreds to thousands of clients or, you know, law firms. I think the customization piece, a lot of these tools that are built for the legal space really weren't designed for customization from what I've seen. Now, there are some that are designed, but I think the other thing is, again, it's about time. I think the biggest issue is time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that a lot of legal, you know, industry leaders within those organizations take the time to make the investments of bringing in the right people. Like, to your point, I think it was LegalEase.
Yeah.
It's finding those kind of firms to help you integrate those technologies. I think a lot of law firm leaders just don't make the investment or the time to do it right. They're just trying to solve the problem at hand, which is the one right in front of them.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break to talk about how MoneyPenny is changing the game for lawyers who are losing business every day and may not even realize it. It's impossible to provide amazing client service when you have phone trees, voicemail jail, or untrained staff handling your phones. Every inbound call could be a new client to intake properly or an opportunity lost. With MoneyPenny, it's all but ensured the call will be handled exactly the way you want it every time. To take immediate action on this, write down this email and start your free trial. It's svj@moneypenny.com and just mention my name in the subject line.
With the help of Practice Panther, our office is more efficient than ever. We now provide an even higher level of service to our clients.
I've collaborated with Practice Panther for years, and I'm always hearing from happy customers just like that one. Practice Panther wants to save you up to 8 hours every week, and I want to save you money. All my listeners can get an exclusive discount, 50% off your first 3 months. Learn how your firm can boost productivity with automated workflows, custom intake, and native e-payments by visiting practicepanther.com/be that lawyer to discover more and claim this deal.
LegalEase Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at LegalEaseMarketing.com.
And I also want to pick on something you said about consistency. And I'm going to just tell you a funny thing. I was at the downtown in the city of Chicago with, I don't know, five or six of my clients and friends. And I was just a fly on the wall listening to five or six, I think it was five lawyers, talk about working with a lawyer who wasn't consistent and wasn't in setting expectations around billing. And this guy got a huge bill for a real estate lease review and then got nickeled and dimed right at the end. Like right at the end, when he could have had a great experience, there was a bill for like $150 that was like, came after he paid 10 grand. He got nickeled and dimed on this thing. And it was like ruined the whole experience of working with this lawyer that, right, you know, he was already kind of shell-shocked from the number of 10 grand. But I always find it so, I don't know if it's ironic, right? It is ironic that lawyers are sitting around complaining about lawyers' bills and stuff like that. But that goes so much to the point of that consistency and setting expectations and, you know, help everybody understand why these kinds of gaps exist in law firms, that things as simple as blowing a relationship over $150 that gets sent out, you know, after the fact would occur. And by the way, I had a lawyer years ago that did a ton of contract work for me. And when I asked him, I wanted to leave him and change lawyers. He would send me a bill for $500 to move the docs over, to give the docs. And I was like, A, you're never getting that money. And B, how dare you? That was a slap on top of slaps that I'd had from this guy. So anyway, personal stories. There we go.
Yeah. What's my thought on that?
Yeah. Deal with all that, Jesse.
Yeah. So I've seen it a lot, right? And the interesting thing is I think when you actually talk to lawyers every day inside of their business, they are actually underbilling. A lot of them are underbilling, right? Because mm-hmm. they are afraid of actually sending out a bill at the perspective that it is. So
yeah.
I think like when we look at, and one of the, you know, we're going to talk here in a minute about the three, the, you know, top tips. One of it's really understanding the friction point, right? And what you were just explaining, that's a friction point. And figuring out your pricing model and how you're going to price and being very clear to your clients about that pricing is a friction point. And you can remove a lot of the issues that you have with your clients' experience just by being very clear up front with their pricing. So rather than the nickel and the diming of the legal, you know, legal process, it's you knowing exactly what your process is. And that's something that Allison and the team at Law Firm Mentor really works with clients on, is what they call the SKU process. And it's literally understanding every single step of what you're delivering and knowing how to monetize that. And I think if you're not doing that, you need to do that, right? And that's important, because you can't have a great client experience if you're not doing those things.
Yeah. So how do lawyers or law firms identify the gaps that are hurting their ability to be successful with clients and build that client relationship and that long-term client engagement?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say, like, you know, a selfless perspective of having outside perspective is important.
Yeah.
Which is why we decided what we're doing. But you can definitely do it without someone else. It's just another added thing to your day-to-day. But I think stepping out of your own view and removing your ego from the process and saying, let's actually map out the entire process. And the first part is really mapping your entire client journey from start to finish. How do people learn about you? What are the different marketing channels? What is the first form of communication with you? Is it through your website? Is it over the phone? A lot of times it's still over the phone, but, you know, we're now seeing more digital marketing methods. And then what does that, you know, what does the consultation and the intake process look like? From intake to consult, what happens after the consult? Once they say yes, what does the, you know, fee agreements look like? How does that get to the client? All the way down to the end, right? Like, I want to just give you kudos for your onboarding process to become on your podcast, because you make it super simple and you're sending reminders. You're kind of like letting me know how excited you are. And I know that's all automated because you have it going through Lawmatics, but that's a lot of the things that you've done that process and have kind of mapped out that journey from first conversation to being on your podcast. I think law firms have to do the same thing. They really have to map out that entire journey. And that's the first step to even understanding what your current state looks like before you can start changing your future state.
And they're not doing it. I mean, look, everybody's in the weeds. Everybody's, you know, trying to get everything done. And to step back and be reflective and think about, what is the client journey? How do I create SOPs and create processes for all these different steps? And they're not doing it. And what's happening then is they're going for years and years and years making mistakes that aren't being improved. They're losing opportunities to secure and retain and build loyalty with clients. Okay. And that's really a big, big problem, because, you know, I'm in the business development game and I tell people all the time, it's 6 to 10 times more time, effort, and energy, money to go get a new client than to keep the one you have. And you're not working to keep the one you have because you didn't have what you're saying, Jesse, and all these steps of how to make sure that client experience is solid. So let's move on to the three tips, because I know I set you up for that, to kind of come to the table with like, hey, let's give three tips. I think, by the way, you've already given one, which is you have to be reflective and bring in an outside source like Jesse to really review everything that's going on in the client experience, because there may be massive gaps that are impacting that ability to lock up business or even more so retain that business. What are the three tips that you're bringing to the table today?
Yeah, I mean, what you just said is really important. We actually at Scale Legal do client interviews. So these are past clients and really understand what their experience was and where they found areas that could be improved. Because unless you have that perspective from your actual clients and not making assumptions, I think you miss such an opportunity to make improvements. So it's not just getting that Google review, it's clearly understanding where you could have done better and being reflective on that. So that will give you an opportunity of identifying gaps in your process. So once you actually map that out, listen to your clients It's mapping out all the gaps on where that process is. Part of that process is understanding all your touch points, meaning where are you actually touching, you know, touching the client, whether it's an email, whether it's a phone call, and what technology. So we do technology audits as part of that process. So you can see, okay, are we missing an opportunity to automate? Are we over automating, right? That's sometimes we over automate things versus under. So identifying the gaps would be number two. And number three is really understanding the friction points. So you could kind of, some people are saying, well, aren't the gaps and the friction points the same? No, the gap is an opportunity where we could actually improve and make a change to that process. Or we have a spot where we're just, we have an opportunity to talk to the client or send them an email or send them a text message when we're not. So that's an opportunity is the gap. And then the friction is where the client, to your point, here's a $150 bill, or, oh, you want to change lawyers, you're not happy with me. Well, here's a $500 bill. Well, maybe your client experience could have been good up to that point, but you created an unnecessary friction point for them.
Yeah.
So it's figuring out where those friction points are so that you can make improvements. So it's understanding the journey, it's filling the gaps, and it's basically removing the friction points.
Yeah. Well, those alone will help resolve a lot of the issues that lawyers are having around client, you know, relationships and loyalty, et cetera. And the thing that I want to sort of lean into as well is when we're talking about, you know, where the low-hanging fruit is as it relates to business development and growing, you know, business every year, you can go out and network for countless hours. You can go and speak till you're blue in the face. You can write until your hand hurts, okay, from typing. But there's no better way to get business than from your client, happy clients. There's just no way. Those are the people that have experience working with you. Those are the people that know that you're the best at what you do, et cetera, et cetera. And if you haven't done a great job at the client experience and making sure that they're happy, 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 then I think you're, then it's very hard to go back and make an ask. And part of what I do, Jesse, is help them with some language around how to make the ask so it's non-salesy and it's non-confrontational. It's like a value add. It's like if you needed hip surgery, and I have a great, by the way, have an amazing hip surgeon because I had my hip replaced years ago. Like, you know, I love to tell people about this surgeon. Okay. It's like I'm helping someone else and I'm giving the surgeon more business and I'm feeling good about it. Well, that's the way it needs to be. And you're not going to get there or feel comfortable with that if you haven't done the steps leading up to that relationship being sound as a pound.
Absolutely. I mean, think about any scenario, whether it's going to the doctor, to the dentist. You know, my stepson got braces and the orthodontist process was it was one of the best client experiences I've ever seen. From the moment you walked into the office, they had an iPad basically with all the, like a questionnaire to fill out. They offered you kind of, you know, a snack or something while you waited. They had a dedicated person to walk you through the process. They followed up. They even gave you, like, because you're spending, you know, $7,000.
It's a lot of money.
They gave you even like a gift certificate, you know, they give the kids a gift certificate to choose whether they want to get van shoes or something else. And it was like a $200 gift certificate, right?
Yeah.
So just they build that into their process so that it creates a client experience so that when somebody says, hey, who did your son's braces when you were at the soccer game? It's you're going to tell that person. And that's an opportunity that you're never going to get. You're not going to get in front of that person on the soccer pitch, you know, at your kid's soccer game or baseball game or football game. You're never going to have that opportunity with your sales and marketing. So that only comes from the client experience.
And for lawyers, right, nothing costs less than someone giving your name out and sending you an email saying, meet, you know, John Smith, and that's a client. You know, you didn't have to pay $250 a click. You know, you didn't have to spend all the money on SEO. You didn't have to go and do LinkedIn advertising. You know, you're getting it because of the name and the brand and what you're building around those client relationships. So,
yeah,
wow, man, really, really great stuff. Let's move on to the game-changing book, which is The Dichotomy of Leadership, which you mentioned is, who's that? Jocko
Willink. Yeah. And Lef Babin is his partner in that
book. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
It doesn't really have anything to do with client experience, but for me, in order to even consider having a great client experience, you have to be a great leader in your organization. No matter what you do, business development, marketing, you know, sales, law, if you're the firm administrator or you're the actual managing, you know, attorney, great leadership is really the catalyst to all change in organizations. And that one book it doesn't necessarily appeal to everybody because it gives stories about, you know, their time in Iraq, but he brings it back to really the foundation of what the leadership concept is and gives a business example in every single one of them. And if there were one book that I think every single business owner should read is that book, because he talks about over-planning versus under-planning, over-training versus under-training. And it's looking at the dichotomies of all aspects of leadership. There's the aloof manager, and then there's the micromanager. So I think it's just having great leadership in your organization is so important. And that book has been just transformational for me, but I've seen it transformational for other people as well.
Well, and I think that's why it's so important that I do this segment of game-changing books, because there are people that have never heard of this book, never heard of that author, and it's or authors, and it's, you know, that it's so important to hear from other people what has worked for them and what they've experienced in a book on leadership, a book on marketing, a book on, you know, anything that's gonna be beneficial. So thanks so much for that. Before we wrap up, Jesse, just want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, of course, MoneyPenny. These are all companies that are helping to automate and help to improve the client experience, right? So MoneyPenny on the live reception and live chat on the website. Legalese Marketing, who I've now spoken about many times on this show, helping with automation on some of the practice management softwares like Lawmatics and others. And of course, Practice Panther, which is a direct practice management system that's going to help you really drive, you know, how you run your practice and bill and all that type of stuff. So great stuff. Hey, Jesse, thank you so much. If people want to get in touch with you, they want to hear more about Scale Legal and how you can help them with the client experience, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, and the best way would just be Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, middle initial J, Fry, F-R-Y-E, at scalelegal.com, or you can visit scalelegal.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, but that Jesse J. Fry at scalelegal.com is the fastest way to communicate with me.
Yeah. Well, really terrific, man. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom and spending some time with me and my audience today. And again, you know, for the folks listening, kind of a no-brainer to, you know, look inward at what you're doing every day, whether you're a solo or whether you're in a 50 or 100-person firm or even bigger, and say, you know, how do we even have a process? Like, is everybody doing the same thing? Are we doing something different? And reach out to Jesse and check that out. But thanks again, Jesse. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell Allison I said hi. She's one.
I will do for sure.
I need to check in with her. It's been probably too long.
I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. And thank you everybody for spending some time with Jesse and I today. And you know, I've got my usual page of notes, and it's really fantastic to be able to listen to someone like Jesse and all the guests I have, and take in all this amazing content and wisdom and advice that's going to help you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.